Hello and welcome. I want to talk in this video about the importance of male self-worth and its connection to work, and how the humanity of males are stripped away in the workplace, and the social controls forced on men to break them down into expendable commodities. On November 19th, 2010, on the west coast of New Zealand, there was a methane explosion in Pike River coal mine. 31 miners found themselves trapped in the mine. Two got out alive. A second explosion occurred on the 24th of November, and the remaining 29 men were declared to be presumed dead. The bodies of the men, they've never been recovered. In investigations, they revealed a lack of training. They revealed hazardous work conditions, and repeated ongoing reports by miners to management of dangerous conditions in the mine. These warnings, they were routinely ignored, right up to the day of the explosion. And the company, it took shortcuts to meet time constraints, and blatantly ignored health and safety precautions. And the department, whose job it was to ensure Pike River was being compliant, ignored a wealth of evidence that Pike River was a death trap. And 29 men died in that explosion, and you would be hard-pressed to find one person, aside from family members, who could tell you the names of those men. Now, 29 men died, and no one was held criminally liable. Now, I'd paid close attention to people's reactions after the explosion, and the recurring viewpoint expressed by the public time and time again was that these men knew full well the risks, that they should have known better. It's on them. The vitriol and complete lack of regard directed at them was hateful, it was disturbing. I mean, the public seemingly trying to separate these men from their humanity so they could avoid viewing them as actual people. And this is a subtotal of these men's worth in the eyes of society. Now, not only to be ignored, but to be accused and ridiculed in death. I mean, how many men, time and time again in the workplace, willingly accept dangers and health risks we wouldn't expose the majority of animals to? I mean, their self-worth, a passive acceptance to flush their health and basic human rights down the drain. Now, it's often said by men who speak out on male issues that society, that the government, women, that they're perpetrating abuses on men. And yes, I mean, these abuses, they're very real. But it's men who are the enablers. Yeah, a man marching to his death with his pail in his hand. He takes pride in this role. And they're at one with those who exploit them. They take pride in the fact that they're providing for their women and for their children. They're taking risks that no woman ever would. And certainly never for a man. Yeah, so it's a slave's mindset. Now, I deserve this. Women, I mean, they're equally complicit. And what we're seeing more and more is women rejecting the notion of feminism, distancing themselves. And yeah, I mean, a woman may claim to not be a feminist, but if she is a man, or the taxpayer providing for her and for her kids, if she's burdening him and us with the bill, I mean, then she's contributing to men's exploitation. I mean, what we need is to take traditionalism out back and put a bullet in its head. I mean, if men and women are to work together, it's going to take a new arrangement and some accountability. I mean, if we look at Japan, where men typically work 14, 16-hour days every day of the week, karoshi, it's the title given to men who literally work themselves to death. I mean, this is the culture. Now, heart attacks, strokes, seizures, karojisatsu, suicide due to overwork. Yeah, but of course suicide, it's going to be widely underreported in Japan due to its stigma. So the numbers, I mean, they're going to be far higher. And karoshi, it's the breaking down of a man physically and psychologically over time. And of course, this is not unique to the East. I mean, American men, they've been noted to work more registered overtime than Japanese men. But off the books, it's believed the Japanese do more. And of course, the Japanese government, they've done the standard window dressing, you know, stating they're addressing the issue with widespread reforms. But the expectation, it's still there. And men, they know full well that they're replaceable if they don't conform. But I mean, death from overwork, it's the extreme end of the spectrum. You know, all the associated health conditions, they just go ignored. You know, the clear message being that whatever you do, don't get sick. And suicides, I mean, suicides in Japan, they're increasing. You know, especially among older workers. So the house, it always wins. And stress, it will get you one way or another. So men, they need to ask themselves, you know, what's more important? Work or their health? And yes, I mean, both take effort. And I'd argue health is even harder to maintain. You know, anything preventative, it's always going to take more investment, more sacrifice. But a man will need to ask himself that question at some point. But you know, typically, it's a case of too little, too late. And it seems for most men, it's far easier to take a bullet for a woman than it is to show himself some compassion. You know, I've worked in a number of industries over the years, you know, some with deplorable conditions. I mean, what men put up with, what's heaped on men, you know, prolonged hours, shift work, unrealistic pressures and workloads, stress, fatigue, depression, you know, abuses. I mean, these men, they have no release. They have no identity outside of work, and they receive no respect. Yeah, a man existing in a deprived state 24/7. Yeah, no self-worth past what others deem his worth to be. Yeah, no incentives. No purpose other than that of a utility. Yeah, no connection. No reprieve. No light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, all they get is drudgery, you know, isolation, emasculation, and the one shining hope that his sacrifice may someday mean something. But for in order for that to happen, he has to be first seen as human. And for that to happen, he has to first find his voice. But men's sacrifices, I mean, they're not appreciated, not by women and not by society. Women, I mean, they're seemingly unwilling to appreciate the sacrifice a man makes when he signs a contract with her and with the state. This dismissive attitude by women, it extends to a man's sacrifice in the workplace. But I mean, ultimately, you know, it's men who adopt the role of beta provider. It's how they define themselves. And it's often stated that men become their job. And that without a job, they lose their identity. And for many men, this is true. But what that theory ignores is a vast number of men who have never, and likely will never, associate their identity with their job. Yeah, in my case, I grew up feeling men were worthless. Yeah, that's the messages I was fed as a boy, to be ashamed of my masculinity. The males were the source of all evil. So I never tied my identity to a job. It was a foreign concept to me. And I mean, it's the same for a lot of the men of my generation. Now, that's not to say that experiencing unemployment, that your self-esteem can't take a hit. It does. It's soul-destroying. You know, you can feel inadequate for not achieving some goal that you're not even clear of. I mean, I recall, I mean, they'd say to me as a boy growing up, you know, why don't you become a doctor? Why don't you become a lawyer? And my first question was always, why? As I didn't feel any degree of self-worth. Now, a lot of young men, they grow up with no ambition. They see their lives as worthless. Because, I mean, all they receive from society is hostility. And as a result, they see no point in interacting. So, I don't blame them for retreating. I mean, if your world is hostile, then your inner world will be hostile. While you become more and more marginalized, as you're painted as a threat, or you're seen as unwanted. I mean, you can beat an animal with a stick, and it will either fight back or retreat. But there's only so much fight in the dog. And when you've internalized a dialogue, I mean, it's near impossible to see light at the end of the tunnel and feel any degree of self-esteem. And this is a reality for many young men today. And we need to stop pointing the stick and actually reach out to them. You know, men and boys, I mean, they get fed the same message. You know, that without gainful employment, you're a waste of space. You're not viable. So they turn inward, you know, avoiding social contact. They feel a deep sense of shame. I mean, we always ask boys, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? But the question, it should be who, not what. And the common response from people, you know, is that men control the government, that men control society. Therefore, men are doing this to other men. But it's just a very pathetic deflection. Yeah, society was built on the backs of men. So trying to lay guilt on all males, thereby enabling yourself to avoid seeing men as human beings, is the reason why men are walking away. Now, men of prime working age, I mean, they're suffering unemployment at alarming rates. You know, the economy, it's very sluggish. In technology, it's changing the landscape. And men, they're finding it hard to adapt. But really, I mean, corporations, they could cull a significant portion of their employees simply by introducing more automation. And the traditional male worker is being squeezed out by technology. But of course, by the same token, it's this technology that provides women and society with their creature comforts and their safety net. And it's men who maintain this technology. Now, those who advance society, and in turn, are ultimately the authors of our own fate. But bottom line, I mean, men are not disposable. Yet, it's the only message that young boys hear, that their entire sex is worthless. But men, they're the majority of suicides in the workplace, and the majority of deaths from accident and work-related disease. Yet all reference to males in this regard is ignored, it's denied, it's deflected. I mean, you ask the majority of people, and they would state offhand that a man voluntarily chooses a dangerous occupation based on the salary, carrying with it a danger premium. But contrary to popular opinion, there is no premium for dangerous jobs. I mean, most young men who enter these industries, they don't fully appreciate the risks. Well, they're so indoctrinated that they feel it's a right of manhood to weather these risks. I mean, really, how can a young man give informed consent if he's not fully aware of the dangers? Or if those dangers are routinely ignored by management? I mean, there's huge pressure for a young man to conform and accept these risks, especially in this economy. And of course, once he's in the door, it's no different than any other job for a man. Now, the pressures and the expectations, they become more unrealistic, they become more dangerous. And it's the employer that's protected from liability in most cases. Not the young man choking on methane, 1,000 meters underground in the dark. So men at a certain point, men in their lives, they become defined by their job. And most men, if they're honest, they don't feel their work is anywhere near rewarding enough. So they feel shame, they feel regret. And they despise and resent the judgment that comes with this association. I mean, the first question out of a woman's mouth when she meets a man is, what do you do for a living? and this is deliberate. Yeah, the man, if he responds, then allows that woman the power to judge him. So don't allow yourself to be put in this position. Take your power back. Because men on the whole, I mean, they're domesticated. They're house pets, living a very marginal and repressive existence. You're suffering a very real loss and grief, a loss of purpose. Unable to voice this grief for fear of exclusion, for fear of ridicule. I mean, to appreciate your own value, you have to first have an identity independent of society's perception of you. And to be appreciated as a valid human being, worthy of empathy and consideration. I mean, this is separate from the victim role that women assume for themselves and use to manipulate society and government. I mean, if there was a woman down Pike River Mine, somebody would have been held criminally liable without question. And in all reality, safety measures would have either been implemented or the mine would have shut down indefinitely. But as a society, I mean, we're programmed to view women as fragile. And if you question this, the price is social exclusion, or worse. I mean, we aren't raising boys in the society, we're disabling them. You know, the natural male forms of expression for boys, they've been criminalized. And they're subjected to hostile pressure cookers of misandry in schools and in the media. They're medicated to the gills. And they're treated as men only when it suits society. And deemed monsters the remainder of the time. And there's no support. All there is judgment and punishment. I mean, how many times do we hear, you know, women justifying why they divorced a man? Now, he works himself to the bone, and her excuse for divorcing him is that she feels ignored and not a priority in his life. But what's missing in this equation, it's appreciation. Appreciation of his sacrifice. And men need to be appreciated. And this is the irony. A man is reduced to the role of utility. So consequently, society view him solely in this regard. But this dedication man has to his work, you know, the hours and the focus he puts in, they alienate the very people he's making the sacrifice for. And a man called out on this, he will only receive one message in return, that he should be prioritizing his woman and his children even more. You know, prioritizing a family that can be stripped away from him on a woman's whim. You know, prioritizing his wife's needs so he can still have passionless and often resentful sex with her. You know, so he can be afforded a grudging acceptance by society that he's valid only if he's disposable. And this is what men die for. And this is all society feel that men are deserving of. Now, in the words of Johnny Rotten, do you ever feel like you've been cheated? So a man, I mean, he needs to start with what is right, rather than what is deemed acceptable. Because from a certain point, there's no longer any turning back. And that's the point that has to be reached. I mean, if you're watching this video, you may already be there, or you might be close to it. And some have taken that first step off the cliff, but most are hesitating. But only you can take that first step. So be the change that you want to be, and do it for you. Do it for the little boy you once were. Do it for the man you want to be. Do it for the men standing shoulder to shoulder with you. Now, don't be a statistic. Take your power back. Now, there's a Japanese saying that after the rain, the earth hardens, meaning adversity builds character. Now, after the storm, things will stand on more solid ground than they did before. Because the only way you can grow and learn is by going through the storm. To get where I want to be, I need to find a way there, or I'll make my own way. And there's a poem by Francis Duggan, The Men Who Built This Town, and it reads, "They rest in peace, forever the men that built this town. But their name's not on a memorial wall to honor their renown. And not one mention of them when we honor the dead. We glorify monarchs and presidents, but nothing of them said. They built the homes and the factories and sweated for their every pay. But with the long forgotten dead, forever they must lay. And they made this town a better place to live in for us all. Yet their enormous contribution we never do recall. To the men who built this town, tonight my toasting glass I'll raise. And though others of them don't wish to hear, I feel obliged to sing their praise. There ought to be a dead workers' day, to them a debt we owe. Though of their contribution to society, far too few wish to know. The heroic men who built this town, at rest forevermore. They built the factories and the homes. Old Joe, who lived next door, was one of the men who built this town. He died a year ago. A grand old bloke, and one that I felt privileged to know."